Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Right here on 960theref.com.
All right, this is episode number 180 of the Crossover Podcast. I'm David Johnston from The Morning Show. Across the way, the one and only Jeff Dantzler from the Home Team. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, we love the 960 The Ref app. We'd love for you to download it. If you have an iPhone, you can find it in the App Store. And, of course, Google Play with your Android. And, again, this is episode number 180 of the Crossover Podcast. JD, how are you, my man?
DJ, great to see you, my friend, and can't tell you how excited I am. Now, we're traveling a little different this year, but to be hitting the road, heading out to College Station, it's one of our favorite trips, such a beautiful state. There again, things are going to look a little different in many ways, but to think where we were just over a year ago and now to be back out on the road, can't wait to get out for a great SEC weekend.
And as we always like to let you know, we are recording this on Wednesday morning. We're recording early since we got to get on out of here tomorrow. So we're even recording this before the Lady Dogs play this afternoon against Oregon, and certainly before we head deep in the heart of Texas for another trip to College Station. This will be our third trip to College Station. We have yet to see the Dogs win a game there.
It is a tough, tough place to play, and most teams in most sports play better at home, but Texas A&M baseball, for whatever reason, they are a completely different team at home. They're okay on the road. They've got a great program. Yep. They're okay. But at home, they're like the Big Red Machine or the 27 Yankees. I mean, they are so, so tough at Bluebell Ballpark. And Georgia pulled out a 10th inning win. Good gosh, the late inning comebacks this year have been incredible. Over Georgia's last four games now, and of course we covered this ad nauseum against Tennessee, but because of the 10 inning game against Kennesaw State, over Georgia's last 37 innings, the Dogs have trailed after 33, been tied for one, and led for only three, but Georgia's 2-2.
If someone told you that Georgia would only lead for three out of the next 37 innings covering four games, you'd figure you're 0-4.
Miracle 1-3. And you're 0-4, though.
2-2. And think of it this way. It's impossible to be 4-0.
Of course. Of
so
course.
The best you could be is 3-1 in that scenario.
I mean, I think it'd be a miracle to win one.
No.
But to get two. The other crazy thing is Georgia gone the whole year. It was 16 games without giving up a run in the first inning. And now Tennessee and Kennesaw combine to strike in the first four straight games for a total of six runs. So literally, not only the Dogs have been behind, but been behind out of the gate. And that's obviously something Georgia cannot have happen in College Station. And we've both been asked a lot, what's a crowd going to look like? We don't know. But that place, the people that are there will be very loud, and you fall behind there,
Not just the thing about, well, say like yesterday or last night, the game yesterday, I believe Goldstein got the first guy, and then there was a one-out walk, and then they got the next guy, right? And then they had three straight hits, if I remember correctly, and then he was gone, but it was the walk that set it up. In the loss to Tennessee on Friday when they were up 9-0, it was just all the walks. It was the miscues, and Georgia ended up walking 12 for the game. And then that's leading to errors. You know, it's like, and this is not a knock on these guys because there's a ton of talent here, but we're kind of having a little bit of a flashback to 4 or 5 years ago. And I know Sean Kinney's going to get it fixed. I'm not worried about that at all, but that's kind of what we've seen here so far.
You're exactly right. And the mistakes that Georgia's making, well, those are the mistakes that young players make. And you are spot on. I mean, we saw it firsthand when this team before Coach Kenny got here and took over the pitching, just had an inordinate number of walks, wild pitches, just constantly behind. And naturally, your defense is going to suffer because we got to be focused every pitch. Yeah, but after a while, it's ball.
Yeah.
Ball. It's hard to have that laser
focus. And the A&M fans will let you know about ball.
Yes, they will.
Ball.
Seven.
But yes.
Then it's just you're wanting to play up tempo and you're wanting strikes. You're wanting that ball when it's put in play. And that's the thing, too. Hitters are coming, and we all know what the hitter's trying to do, but defenders, you're not necessarily wanting all strikeouts either, but you're wanting your guy ahead in the count, and you're wanting to play up tempo. And that's another thing. Naturally, ball, walk, mound visit, here comes a catcher. That's a horrible tempo. And you could be the most laser-focused athlete in the world. If you're playing center field, if you're playing second base, it's hard not to just punch the old glove a couple of times and say, good gracious.
Yeah,
it is. Let's throw some strikes and play ball here.
Which is what we'd seen over the last few years, and suddenly the defense got a lot better. The pitching was a lot better. There were no wild pitches, or at least not as many. And I know we've gone down this road many times.
Sure.
And again, I know Coach Kenny will get this straightened out, but it just may be part of the growing pains. We saw Liam Sullivan struggle this past Friday, and he was lights out last night.
Let me ask you this, DJ. I think we touched on this briefly during the game, and you're right. Liam pitched great.
Yeah.
Luke Wagner pitched great.
Yeah.
Really like Michael Polk, getting him back. Another
Pearson
thing that
was good.
Oh, yes.
Nolan Crisp was
Crisp
really
was
good.
Terrific.
Yep.
But we talk about it a lot. All right, if you're good enough to pitch at a place like Georgia, Florida, Texas A&M, in high school, you are dominant. And most lineups you face, there might be one or two guys who could touch you,
yeah.
who could touch your best stuff. So I sometimes wonder, too, just if psychologically when a pitcher gets to that next level, whatever that next level might be, and in this case you're talking about college baseball, so you're dominant DJ in high school. You get up here and you learn. I remember Cole Wilcox's first game. We were playing Dayton, I think it was, and they're – hitting him hard.
Yeah.
This is Cole.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually a good thing for Cole. And he realized, like, guy, even these guys can hit a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Even these guys can. So I think for pitchers who might be struggling with their control a little bit, they're realizing, got everybody.
I got to learn a new pitcher, too.
They could hit me.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not pitching to contact as much.
Yep. Yep.
In high school, I could pitch to contact. Nobody's squaring me up. Or even if I was
sure.
pitching to contact, they might not be able to make contact.
And Cole, his first year, there were walks.
There were.
There was some issues there as far as that. But, I mean, last year,
gosh. It was unbelievable.
Incredible.
And you could see it towards the end of his first year, that two-hitter he threw against Florida.
Yep,
and that was a seven-inning game, but still. And so I just think for some young pitchers, and Georgia's got so many talented young arms, you're used to striking everybody out, throwing two hitters and three hitters there. Well, now all of a sudden when you are around the plate, some of these teams are hitting you. So now are you maybe staying away a little bit more? You're not used
sure.
to getting hit. And then all of a sudden it starts, well, golly, I'm not used to walking guys either. And then back
What's
to your original
thing I've
point.
I've got to throw out of the stretch. I'm not used to that.
Another point.
Yeah.
How often do you have to do that in high school when you're dominant? And you really have to keep an eye on those runners. And it compounds. And it comes fast. I've seen, just to kind of give you an example of where we're going with this, in basketball, there's so much going on. You're learning the offenses. You're learning the defenses. And let's take, for example, a player who might have been a very good shooter in high school and an excellent free throw shooter, that when they're freshmen, the jump shot might not be there and the free throw shooting might not be there. Well, how is that? That should transcend. It should, but you're putting in so much work to learning all these new defenses and learning all these new systems. Things that you took for granted, they probably suffer a little bit. Because I think we all know if you've got a skill, you have to continually work at that skill to keep it good.
Sure. No, you're right. You're right.
So do you think, like Jordan Spieth, when he went, I got to get more distance, did his putting maybe suffer some
Absolutely.
For that?
Well, if you're paying more attention
exactly.
to one thing – and not enough attention to another, or not as much as you usually do, then it seems like that would be the natural thing, that one would slip to make the other one better. And sometimes it doesn't always make the other one better.
No.
Sometimes you think that you got to make something better, and maybe your strength comes down a little bit instead of just saying, I got to live on my strength.
Correct.
Yes.
And let's just get to where
maybe you should make your strength better.
Exactly. So let's say, and obviously to be at that level, if you're talking about a Jordan Spieth or a big time athlete in college or in the majors, the NFL, whatever it may be, maybe the play is then, and you've got to have a certain skill level to be at that level, but let's just make sure my weakness is a C or a C plus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have anything be an F,
right?
But for let's say the 80% of your game that's strong, you make that an A plus. The 20% that's not, you got to have it at least a passing grade.
And another thing too is it's not just the physical part of it; it's the
mental part
too.
Oh yeah.
And these guys, I don't know how the wall will be this year as much for the true freshman that didn't have a season last year. Where's the wall this year? You know, we can normally see it with some guys in a regular year, but I don't really know what to expect this season.
I don't either. And sometimes the other thing, too, we've seen guys hit the wall, and then after a couple of weeks, especially if you make a postseason run, you can kind of get that second win.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we'll see that wall around about week 7 or 8 in SEC play.
And you still got another 3 or 4 weeks to go.
And we talked with Gordon Beckham on the home team earlier this week, and he brought that up his freshman year. And Dave, how many times have we mentioned this? Just the fact that in high school you're playing 7-inning games. So let's say you play a 25-game high school schedule. By the time you've played 25 college games, that's an extra 50 innings just on 7 and 9.
Yep.
Well, that's what, 5.5 games just right there off the innings.
And not just 50 more innings, but they're more intense innings and
more
the competition
intense.
Is better.
So that
and
freshman
takes
wall,
its toll.
It is a real thing.
Yeah, it totally is.
And we've just
but
seen
I,
it
again,
so
I don't
often.
Know what to kind of expect from it this year. The other thing Georgia's got to keep their fingers crossed on his injuries too. Need to get Corey Collins back in the lineup. I think you see with him hitting third and Harbor hitting fourth, going to be the anchor of the lineup. And then I think you could kind of move the pieces around after that, depending on what you need. We saw last night Georgia went with McAllister in the leadoff spot and Shane Marshall hitting second. And I don't know if that's going to stay like that or not, but at least they're trying to do some things with this lineup because it's not going to be the most potent lineup in the conference. But they're still – they've got to figure out a way to, you know, maximize the run potential.
You're exactly right. Kind of a good news, bad news. You don't have that domination at the top, but at the same time, really the bottom third, there's not a big difference there. But,
right.
but I do think, and with Parks Harbor hitting that home run – and what we've seen from Corey Collins, I mean, he's got that it factor. I mean, you're looking at for whenever Collins gets back, for the rest of this year, those guys are going to be in the middle lineup. And I would guess for 2022 and 2023, in whichever order, Collins and Harbor are going to be your 3 and 4 hole hitters.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, it's kind
that
of
sounds exciting.
And I'm not now these guys were two of the best players in Georgia history, so I'm not throwing on there. But it was kind of like when we had Josh Morris and Joey Side come in as freshmen in 2004. It's like, all right, those guys are going to be, hitting 2 and 4, 3 and 4, 2 and 3, whatever. Those two guys are going to be at the top of our lineup for the next 3 years.
Sure.
And I think you could see that with Collins and Harbor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Harbor's also solidified third base. He's played well there.
Yep. And what hurts, though, is – well, it doesn't really hurt, but Harbor's missed games because of an injury. Now we have Collins fighting it here. So really haven't had those guys in the lineup together hardly at all this year.
No, we haven't. And that's just part of dealing with the injuries and you're dealing with youth. So many things have hit here. I mean, I kind of eyeballed it, and you and I talked about it when the season started, that with the strength of the league this year, I mean, again, the SEC's ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 9 teams in the top 25. If this team could make it to Birmingham and have a winning record, I think that's a heck of a season because Georgia was hit harder, no doubt, than any team was by the draft and by defections off of last year's team. I mean, to lose a Hancock, a Wilcox, a Shepherd, a Bradley, Patrick Sullivan, no team lost that amount of firepower.
Well, to see like this past weekend a Tennessee that had so many people come back.
Seniors, yes.
Plus they got some guys to come to Tennessee that may not have because of the draft.
Including the guy we saw
Sunday
yeah.
Who we'll seeing Tidwell. On Fridays in the future.
Yeah.
But Georgia was in the opposite of that, where you had two guys drafted. You also had just some mainstays in Shepherd and Sullivan, maybe the two best defensive players we've ever had at each position.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy like a Tucker Bradley.
Who was having a Beckham Kappinger type year. Yeah.
Having a great year. So that hurts.
It does.
It really does.
It does. And it's just one of those things, you know, the timing kind of hit us. But if this team can grind through, the other good part is, you know, looking ahead. And I think this team's got the capability to make postseason. A lot's got to go right. We've definitely got to play cleaner than we did last weekend. But next year, Georgia's got a chance to be very good. Mm-hmm. And you would think in 2 years, when these freshmen are juniors, like, that should be a great team.
Absolutely. The kind of team that you expect has a really good chance to win the conference.
Yes, make a run.
Make a run and see what can happen.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. If there are some growing pains this year, maybe it's getting ready for the future. Not to write this year off.
No, by no means.
But, you know, I'm sure, you know, Tennessee left here on Sunday thinking, how do we not sweep this mm-hmm. weekend?
This team's shown a knack. I mean, it's kind of a good news, bad news. Say, what are we? Are we 15-5? Is
15 and 5, and 5 of those 15 have been walk-offs?
Yeah. So you're saying, well, it could be, you know, 11-9, 12. Yeah. This team's shown that flair to win, but it's a different animal now. This is the only time Georgia's been on the road this year has been in-state one-day trips to Kennesaw, to Georgia State, to Georgia Southern.
So the Dogs are 2-1 on the road.
Now you're talking about heading to Aggie
Land. About to play 3 of them out in College Station this weekend, and they lost to Rice last night 2-1.
Oh, man. So they're
and they got
in.
Swept by Florida this past weekend, so they're going to have the red butt.
Yes, they are. But I'm looking forward to it. They have a beautiful ballpark there, and just be fun to get back.
Maybe they'll let us
road.
In the press box.
That would be nice. We don't want to – you know, get within 15 feet of the real important people, of course. You
at least
scum,
that's what we're being told.
Stand over there.
You cannot go within 15 feet of this person.
Okay.
I still don't understand what they're talking about.
I don't either. They are just, I guess, going above and beyond because they're more important. As the great Dan Jenkins said, he was talking about some of the exclusive clubs on tour. He said there should be a sign up that says, "You're scum, we're not."
Enough said. Is your dad coming over?
I don't know what the ticket situation
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm hoping
because that's
he
a good point.
Over.
I tell people, I'm sure you're the same way. I've told tons of people. It's like normally I could get you on a pass list, but those don't exist, or
no,
at least
they don't.
Not for us.
I know. I've got a friend of mine who played football at Georgia who lives in Dallas. He's got A&M friends, and mm-hmm. a couple of them came in for the football game. So they're taking him to baseball. So now he's got tickets through them. And I told him, I said, I have no idea if we have a list. I know. And it's one of those, is it can only parents get in? I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I know my dad and Patty would love to come over, but I just, you know, I don't know with hotels and the stuff.
How far is the drive from Dallas to College Station?
It's
not too bad.
Because as we well know, College Station's quote unquote closer to Houston unless you leave the Houston airport during rush hour.
Yeah, then it may as well be 10 hours.
Yeah, might as well have just driven from New Orleans at that point. That was a rough trip. But,
this will be a different one for us because I don't know if anyone listening even cares, but we're not allowed to travel with the team right now because of the COVID regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to get out there on our own or get out there a different way. So it's going to be a little bit different this time around. And I'm kind of curious because Texas is supposedly wide open, and what's it going to look like with the fans and that kind of thing? Because we've only seen, like you said, we've only seen four parks, right? We've seen our place, Kennesaw, Georgia State, Georgia Southern.
Correct.
Georgia State and Kennesaw, that was a joke because there was no one there.
Right.
Georgia Southern did have fans there, and they put all their students behind the dugout.
Yeah, they did.
And then we had that guy yesterday.
Oh, there was a village idiot yesterday. And, oh, man.
By the way, if you don't believe in karma or any of that stuff, that's fine. But a walk-off homer to send that guy home was good.
And I'll tell you, a couple of good old Dog fans, a couple of these guys, they had some, like, Fu Manchus and just, like, you would not want to mess with those guys. And, oh, just the guy who wants to be the heckler. Well, good for you.
Good for you. Just Stay away.
When you're rolling in for Kennesaw State with an I hate UGA t-shirt, just...
Screws have been loosened. That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
Like, really, Kennesaw's like, we love Mike Sansing. It's the only sport we play in. Yeah. I mean, it's...
No, I don't get that. Kennesaw does well. One of our emailers this morning said, because we were talking about it on the morning show, he's like, well, that guy kind of won, didn't he? Because y'all are talking about him and you talked about him on the broadcast. I guess he did.
The thing is, though, since it's his trolling is just bad. You have to mention it because...
Yeah, you're hearing him.
Blatant.
Everyone in the stadium's hearing
him. Right, and that's another thing when you don't have the normal size crowd. One idiot, to borrow from the late great Skip Perry, his voice then can really be heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we just obviously felt like it's one of those things like we've got to mention it. I mean, if it's bothering us, it's obviously bothering everybody else. Where's Putty? Sit down. You're disturbing everybody.
But it's funny, too, because we also, home plate umpire Rusty Griffin last night, you know, he had some words with Kennesaw, and everyone in the stadium could hear it.
And I think what he was basically saying was like, I don't need the whole dugout chirping in. And he's an excellent umpire, and I thought he was spot on last night. And, you know, the thing is, I think with any official or umpire, a borderline play – one side's going to not like it.
One side's going to be mad. The other side's going to be happy. And then 2 minutes later, it could be the opposite.
And again, that's where to go into the inevitable. Oh, you're a hypocrite. So 1-8-1-8. Well, on 1-8-1-8, those weren't even borderline.
Right, right.
And replay couldn't be used on those. That's the two things that grind my gears.
Yes. Right?
So we're going to move away from that. But if you've got a pitch, boy, was it on the black or not? You know, basketball, the block charge. Like, well, you're gonna hear it. I mean, at least
pass interference.
Yeah. At least in basketball, though, under the goal, I do like the semicircle there.
Yeah.
Although there was one 2 years ago, they called a charge on us for the Lady Dogs, and I just looked at Joni and I just made the circle sign, and she just goes, "I know." At that point.
What do you do?
But if the borderline play, you know, we brought this up too, and Dave, good gosh, we could talk. I'm hoping we're going to get a podcast for our baseball road trips there.
Just a little plug there. Yeah.
But for the play that we have not seen overturned is the bang bang call at first base, and you and I both think it's the umpires get that right a vast majority of the time. Pardon the Don Deckinger jokes, but they're going as much off the sound of that with the ball hitting the mitt and the foot hitting the bag.
Which you brought up something that you said you've looked up before, which I guess I hadn't really given a ton of thought about over the years. So if the umpire at first, maybe this is a question for an umpire.
Mm-hmm.
You're going by the sound, like you said. You're listening for the foot and the ball hitting the glove. But in theory, when is a catch a catch? So if you're just... If he's going by just as soon as he hears the ball hit the glove, does that mean that's when the first baseman has possession?
That was something I thought of, and actually I was watching a big league game and saw bang bang play, and one of the announcers said that when the ball, and I believe they got an umpire to verify this, is when it's in the circumference of the glove, when it's in the webbing, it's considered having. So it doesn't necessarily have to hit the back of the glove.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So when it's
in it could even, in theory, you're not holding the ball, but you have possession of it?
In theory.
For a millionth of a second?
For a millionth of a second. That when it's in, when you're squeezing it, and it hadn't quite hit your palm yet, or the webbing, I think that's... So basically,
why they go by sound.
Correct. And I mean, now... It's a millionth of a second, and it's a bang-bang game and a game of inches, and I'm sure that's happened before. But, for the most part, I guess, when the umpire can no longer see the ball when it's inside your glove, it's
even
considered being
in theory,
received at that point.
Well, that's an elite explanation.
That is, I mean, because I'd always – I'm like, well, when is it you know, considered to be caught for a play at first base, and that was a play like that. Which, good gosh, and I don't even want to get into football. It's like, Dave, we grew up our whole lives loving football, and I obviously Georgia, and watching college football and high school games, and watching the NFL on Sundays. I used to know what a catch was.
I know. Yeah, that's a good point.
And then you look like, well, did he finish it, man? I'm like, no, that was a catch.
Yeah. I know.
Or
just
no,
the good
that
old
was
days.
It. Yeah, yeah. Just I used to know what a catch was.
And now you just kind of wait and see.
Just like, well,
go to replay. Just get it over with.
But they do replay, and we're seeing it in college baseball. They've got to find a way to speed it up. And what's happened in college baseball is that they do have the two challenges, but when the umpires can get together and say, well, it was close, we got to go look at it. Yeah, we want to get it right, but there are also times where the pace of play suffers. And we had a review over the weekend, DJ. I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday. It was early in the game, and I get it. Every play can end up making the difference.
Right.
But it was one that where we didn't need like a 12-minute delay.
And I don't want to see them
– because it's killing the pace of play.
With two outs and nobody on, going to check on a foul tip.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Now, if you want to use that for one of your challenges
– have at it, Hoss.
But – I'm still kind of confused on, are you trying to talk the umpires into it or not? Because we saw last night with Kennesaw, the umpire came over. Who was it? Was it the crew chief or whoever it was? David Savage.
Whoever
said, no, we ain't going.
We're not
to look
looking
at
that.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank
good.
You.
Good. Because that's and I think we can all agree too on replay that when you go look, if you can't tell within 30 seconds, you got to go with the original call. So I think challenge. Yeah. To any sport, two challenges. Now, in football, I think if you get it right, you get to keep your challenge. Okay,
yeah.
Two challenges, boom. That's it, and 30 seconds. Because, I mean, replay was put in to prevent just egregious, like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, he dropped the pass.
Yeah.
It's not a touchdown.
Right.
That's originally what it was put in for. It was not put in for.
God, yeah,
should
now
that
it's
spot
so specialized.
Be on the 35 or the 35 and a foot?
Yes. It doesn't matter.
No.
Well,
and
it
I get it. It's we all understand, but we got by fine before. And then the part that still crushes me is that I feel like, and I'm not saying they didn't play good, but had those calls gone our way, we would have won that national championship game. So to me, I'm like, well, they've got the replay, but we've gotten too caught up as well as what's reviewable and what's not reviewable. So to me, it's like, well, what was the point for having it then?
Exactly. I agree.
You got the biggest TV in the world. You can't tell me DeAndre Swift got yanked down by his face mask?
I know.
Well, it's not reviewable. Well, why not?
Why not? Then you get in that dilemma, too, sometimes in replay where you're looking at one thing and you see another
thing.
That
happened to us in that Georgia-Tennessee game.
Yeah, yeah.
They were seeing to see if Dobbs, what, spiked it back. Or something. Well, no, Georgia had 12 on the field because we had a defensive lineman who's 50 yards away sprinting to get off the field. It's like, well, hang on now.
Wait a minute. Now, that maybe that did happen, but you didn't. They weren't checking that.
A good attorney would call that fruit from a poisonous tree right there. You know. Yeah, use that. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
But they definitely, and we're seeing it in college baseball, too, they have definitely got to get organized. Because what we dread now, the sign for going to replay, we call it mouse ears. You kind of go the earmuffs, thinking old school there.
The old Vince Vaughn.
To go to the headset, and you see that, and it's just, oh, gosh. Because, I mean, and basically, and I get it, any skipper, if it's a close play, they're immediately going to
it. Right.
So then you get to the point of like, well, why do we have the four umpires here?
At least the guys last night,
they were good.
They
went
were
straight
right to the booth.
Because the beating of, well, it could have been. Well, I don't know. Well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Should we go look at it? Well, let's think about it. All right, well, let's go look at it. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, which is where I'm confused about when the umpires huddle before the eighth inning. Because after the eighth inning, I think they can decide themselves.
I know, but it's
It's confusing.
So then it's like, well, I guess you do use your challenges early because can you not use a challenge in the eighth or ninth? I don't know.
I think you can just talk the ups and
I know. It's so ambiguous.
I know. I don't get it. We've had this discussion before, haven't we? And we're going to have it again down the road, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's.
But the road this weekend is College Station, Texas, which is interesting for Georgia fans that are football fans still have not seen this place.
Is it 2023 or 2025 is when we're going out there?
Or is it four?
I think it's 24.
24.
But whatever. It's still a ways.
Still a couple of years or two or three years away. And I, you know, you probably get the same thing. A lot of my friends are like, I can't wait till we finally go to A&M because that's the one we haven't been to. The outpost, the far outpost of the SEC.
Yeah, and there's, you know, even talking about the only times we had played them before, we played them back in the 50s in a bowl. You know, we played them in 80 between the hedges. That was Herschel's first home game, but that was just a one-off. You know, back in those days, like, we didn't go to College Station, and then we played them in Shreveport.
Did you get UCLA or Texas A&M to come over here for one game?
Without a one-off? Cal? Yeah. BYU?
Yeah, I mean, who else has come here that you couldn't do that anymore?
Just Oregon State.
Oregon, for sure, yeah.
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 Yeah, so I'm just trying to think from the late – like, we played Cal here twice, but from the late – we never went to Pitt, and we've never beaten Pitt either. Ooh. But from the late 70s, I mean, just talking about regular season games, Cal, BYU, UCLA, Texas A&M, TCU, UCLA.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
That's how it was then.
Yeah, Baylor's been here four times, I think. We've never gone there.
No, what team would you not go to for a home and home?
Right,
you can start whittling down.
Where's the line? Where's the line?
Where's the line?
Like, no, we're not going. I remember in the 80s. Bama went to Lafayette, Louisiana. They played a 4-for-1 with the Raging Cajuns. I was like, oh, my God. You know, that stadium, I think, held 30,000 people. And I was thinking, that had to be one of the toughest tickets ever.
Wow, that's incredible. Can you imagine Georgia going there, not like now?
Well, somebody asked me. They didn't realize how big Georgia is. So, well, what if we went down to stadium? I'm like, no. And first of all, that would be the hardest ticket. That'd be harder than the Masters and Wimbledon put together times 10. And like a 30,000-seat stadium, Georgia. So it's like, no, that will
never happen. Man Jared Binko, though, if he were able to pull
Jared's
that
like,
off, get a lot of money out of
got
that.
Got some premium seating going here, boys.
Yes. The game against Appalachian State, tickets are going for $30. The game against Georgia, the tickets are going for $300.
So they got Boise coming down there this year, right?
That's interesting, Yeah. All right, before we go then, since we're on this topic, we've done this before. Should Georgia ever play at, I'm trying to find, not an obvious one, I'm trying to find one that would be kind of, all right, Kansas State.
No.
Kansas.
No.
Cal.
2-for-1.
Let me think. Man, you are quick on the Kansas schools.
I don't know who wants to go to Kansas.
People that want to check a box.
I guess.
Iowa State.
No.
Iowa.
2-for-1. Kinnick Stadium is nice.
I'd like to go there, too. Plus, they have that great tradition now of
With the kids.
With the kids.
It'd be worth it for
that. Yeah,
good call.
I love that. I think that's very cool. All right.
Some of them are like Michigan would be great.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying
to. Obvious.
Syracuse.
Oh, that place is too dangerous. There have been some upsets up there through the year. I mean, Clemson.
LSU went there.
Yeah, and pulled it out. Florida 91. That's a danger. Just feels different there.
Like Rutgers at Yankee Stadium?
I would play at Yankee Stadium, yes.
A football game at Yankee Stadium doesn't bother
I'd
you?
I'd sell my soul to that.
Although
it's a new stadium, but –
Or Boston College at Fenway Park.
You know, BC, that's another place where, like, Clemson's lost up there, Florida State, Tennessee lost up there back in the 80s.
What about Maryland, a home and home with Maryland? No.
Especially not now.
Yeah. Okay.
That would not be it. I'll tell you a place that I always thought would be cool. The problem would be finding the time because it's so far away. You'd almost have to play them in the opener and then have an open date. But I would love to play the University of Washington.
I would too. That'd be awesome.
But it's the trip and all that. You would have to play that in the opener.
Yeah.
And then have an open date after that.
What about a home and home with Army or Navy?
Not playing that option, man.
And what if they didn't run that offense?
No way. I have a hard time cheering against the service academies,
yeah,
too.
I know.
I know Kirby's not going to. And I texted, it was, we had a late game against maybe Murray State, but it was when Army was beating Michigan, and they really should have won. Yeah. They threw an ill-advised pass down around the goal line. And I texted him, I go, by the way, it's the morning of the game. I go, Army's beating Michigan 14-7. And he goes, you play one of those schools, he goes, that'd send your program into a 2-year tailspin.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's
you
brutal.
Just.
It's brutal.
And Army was really good last year. And
yes.
Navy the year
yeah,
before
I know.
That one. They, and that's the
and
thing.
And even on years when they're not good,
it's still tough.
It's still a tough game.
Because
it's a
the
tough
possessions
game.
And the one thing that Navy did have a dip, they were great the year before. Then you get them a player like when Navy had Malcolm Perry, who was a mm-hmm. high. You get a special player
oh, yeah.
in that system.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I agree.
Look out.
Agreed,
sir.
Agreed.
Although I would say, DJ, that would be one I think be fun for a bunch of us. I've always looked around. Although now, when Georgia has an open date, I love just sitting around watching games. But if we had a chance
to go
to West Point.
Oh, absolutely.
I would go in a heartbeat.
Oh, no question.
And I know,
or Annapolis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, either one.
And my dad went to Air Force Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I'd love to
but
go out there.
Seeing a game on the river. And I've got friends from New York who've been – they have a water taxi that goes from the city over there. It takes about an hour. But
that's
I know
cool.
Mercer's played up there, and I think Southern has or is going up there. But that would be one, like, if we had an in, like, if the dogs are defending national champions undefeated, hey, you want to go up and watch, you know, Georgia Southern play Army? Absolutely. I'd love to go to a game on the banks of the Hudson.
How about the Army Navy game? But only if the weather's good.
No, I would go. That'd be a bucket list for me.
That'd be awesome.
It's free. No, I've had friends that have gone and they said like you get there like 2 hours before because you want to see the whole procession. But if you're from down here,
I would totally want to go see that.
Layer up because it is
layer up.
Cold in Philly in December. Cold.
All right,
we have a hard time filling time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, where did the time go? We didn't talk about the Lady Dawgs for obvious reasons.
Yes.
They're going to play this afternoon, so we didn't do a deep dive, but certainly best of luck to them. And they are the higher seed, but things were a little cattywampus to start out there against Drexel and mixing. And it was lost on me that they had the Lady Dawgs, of course, you know this, that they had used the same starting five the whole season. And didn't have that on Monday, and I don't know what it's going to be like this afternoon. But
and then meanwhile, Oregon, they've fought the same type thing all year, but now they've gotten most of their players back. So that's why they've lost 8 games.
Because I was going to say, they're 14-8.
But they've rarely been at full strength. Like Stanford only beat them by two. So
that tells you
and by the way,
right
the next
there.
Time we do this, the season could be over. We could be in the Elite Eight because we're playing.
Yeah.
The winner of this will play either Saturday or Sunday. So.
No, that's a good point.
It's
wow.
It's been a crazy year.
Crazy. All right.
Crazy.
Enjoyed it.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to the weekend with you. We will head on out deep in the heart of Texas.
Can't wait.
And we do thank you for joining us as well here. This is our little fun treat we get to do every week, the Crossover Podcast. Jeff and I know we keep saying it, and maybe one day it'll happen where we will do one of those on a baseball trip.
Amen.
We're in
that.
The car.
Amen.
Maybe it'll be our last days in radio. We're getting too much trouble. But we will talk about that guy from last night at least once or twice.
You,
more.
Sir, are an idiot. Thinking about Skip Carey's
the
old
great
call-in
Skip
show.
Carey, yes. Good stuff. All right, again, find us in the App Store if you have an iPhone, Google Play for your Android. We do appreciate it. We'll be back along with you again next week. This has been episode number 180. He's Jeff Dantzler from the home team. I'm David Johnston from The Morning Show, hence the name, the Crossover Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us here on 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover on 960theref.com.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments. Get started at Chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Results may vary. See Chime.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.